You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
It's time for Food Friday. Lori Skelton is with us, as she is every month. Today we're talking about homemade pizza. For the last few weeks, Lori has been experimenting with some new recipes, and she's here to share her findings with us.
She's been making different kinds of what's known as grandma pizza. According to Bon Appetit magazine, this is the most reliably delicious pizza you can make for yourself at home. It comes with a thick, crunchy crust. Lori Skelton joins us now. She's been cooking up a pizza storm this week at Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you so much, Lori.
I counted. It was six pizzas in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I think I had everyone.
And when you consider that up until this time, I've never made a pizza from scratch. I've had pizza from scratch at other people's houses where somebody will make the crust and then you just put on the toppings you want. I've never made a pizza because, wow. I mean, it's one of those things I always thought, why bother? Whether it's the next door pub in Lake Geneva or Pizza Man in Milwaukee, you want good pizza, you go out for it or you have it brought in. And so I got the issue of Bon Appetit magazine with this gorgeous looking pizza on the cover. And grandma pizza was what they were talking about. I'd never heard of it, but it sounded so intriguing, I just had to try it.
So what is grandma pizza? How is it different than other pizza?
Okay. Unlike a thick Sicilian deep dish pie, which is baked in a pan that can sometimes be 3 inches high, you've got a crust that you don't roll out, that you don't toss. You actually pat it into the pan with a lot of olive oil underneath it. You want minimal toppings. One of the things that I've discovered about this is it's a Long Island pizza, and that's just starting to make its way into the rest of the country. And in Long Island, it was always the Italian kids saying, make the pizza that Mama made for us back in the old country. It's sometimes referred to as pizza alla casalinga or housewife pizza. You want it to be simple. Cheese is expensive, so you put on a little bit of cheese, not too much. In Italy, you don't even make sauce. You just chop tomatoes straight from the garden, throw that on, chop up some garlic, throw on some olive oil, and then hot, hot, hot oven. A lot of olive oil under the crust, hot oven. You don't have a pizza oven, but you want to get some heat going. You get a really crunchy bottom to the crust. The crust will rise a bit and be soft and pillowy. The toppings will not crush it. So that's your basic grandma pizza. It's not big, thick wad of dough like certain deep dish pizzas. It doesn't have quite the heft of a Sicilian pizza, but it's also not that cracker thin crispy crust that you get with an 800 degree oven and a pizza peel.
Yeah, it seems to be largely about the crust. Don't get me wrong, your toppings were delicious.
Oh, yeah.
The sauce was amazing, but I think we have to focus in on the crust because that's, to me, what really made this pizza, and it had this crunch when you took a bite.
Absolutely.
Let me interject to emphasize this point. I would have happily eaten the crust without any toppings or cheese on it.
Well.
Okay. Now proceed.
Okay. While I was putting this together, I got a fair amount of my ingredients from Fraboni's here in Madison, and one day Steve Fraboni happened to hear me talking about this, and when you spread out your dough in the pan, you're putting it on half a cup of olive oil and then cranking your oven up to 525 degrees. And Steve said, you know, you're basically frying that pizza. And that's what you get right on the bottom. Lovely, crispy, crunchy, crunchy crust. I pulled the first one out of the oven and thought, oh, no, my friends are going to think I burned this because it was brown, brown, brown on the bottom with this lovely little soft pillow on top of it. I brought it in expecting to apologize all afternoon. That pizza was gone in no time, and everybody said it was amazing. So you'd think a half a cup of olive oil, you're going to be coming out with this hot, greasy mess. The crust absorbs all that oil, but you don't taste anything that feels like it's dripping down your chin.
So it's not exactly health food pizza, though, right? When you add the oil?
Well, it's olive oil. No, it's
olive oil. It's a health food.
It's not like you're using lard.
But there's no Fry Daddy involved.
No, there's no Fry Daddy involved. The pizza comes out of the oven, and yes, the oil at the very edges is bubbling as though you were using a Fry Daddy. But after that, pizza sits on the counter for 5 minutes. The oil is absorbed into the crust, makes it nice and crispy and crunchy. You can lift this thing out of the pan. It doesn't stick. It's so easy to work with. And It sounds crazy when you first read it, but as I discovered, it's a real crowd pleaser.
Now, for our kitchen atmosphere, this sounds like it could be a bit smoky.
Okay. If you have not cleaned your oven recently, if you crank your oven up to its maximum temperature, yes, you are going to have some ventilation issues. I noticed as I kept making these pizzas, my kitchen got less and less smoky, so I'm assuming that some of whatever was in my oven got burned off. But yeah, you do need a hood for this, or you need to be able to open the windows in your kitchen, and then don't tell your landlord that you've just turned off the smoke alarm.
Now, you tried some different versions, a 24-hour rise, and then you did one that was half the rising time. What were the results like?
This particular recipe from the Bon Appetit magazine had a crust that needs to sit in the refrigerator, cold rise or cold ferment, if you will, for a day. And the person who put this recipe together for Bon Appetit, his name is Frank Pinello, and he works at a place called Best Pizza in Brooklyn, so he should know. He commented that you really need to get a good flavor balance between minimal toppings and this great crust. So the cold rise in the fridge, he says, is going to give it the great nutty flavor, the great texture, the great chew to it. And yes, everybody was loving the crust, but I thought, you know, not everybody knows they're going to want pizza a day before they have pizza. Can I use rapid rise yeast and just whip it up a couple of hours ahead of time? Now, I saw on our Facebook page today that somebody had posted, here's what my dad used to do for the 9 kids. He'd unthaw frozen bread dough and use that as the base for his crust. The day that I used the rapid rise crust, which spent less than 3 hours rising before I baked it, everybody said, you know, Lori, it's good. It's not as good as the other one. Everybody said it tastes doughy or bready. I'm not saying you can't do it, especially if you just decide I'm really jonesing for a pizza right now. But you are going to sacrifice some of the texture and definitely a lot of the taste if you don't give it the 24 hours in the fridge. I did try a gluten-free version of this because I do know there are some people that can't tolerate gluten, and more Italian companies are noticing that. I actually found a gluten-free pizza focaccia flour mix at Glorioso's Market in Milwaukee. Again, it was tasty. The people who don't normally get to eat pizza were throwing their arms around me and calling me wonderful names, but it still wasn't grandma pizza. I think if you're going to go gluten-free, your best bet these days is to find a good crust recipe and roll that one out thin. I don't think gluten-free can handle grandma.
Well, we're talking crust here. Let's talk gear a little bit. We can do this in home oven without the, as you said, 800-degree pizza oven.
Right.
How about a pan? What are we looking for there?
You want what is known in the restaurant business as a half-sheet pan or a heavy jelly roll pan. You want For the recipe that I'm dealing with, you're talking 18 inches by 13 inches and about an inch and a half high. You don't want it so deep like a Sicilian pan because that is actually going to keep some steam in on the pizza. It's going to make that crust not so crisp and a little bit doughier in the middle. But you want a heavy-duty pan. Because if you are cranking your oven up to 525 degrees and you're using a flimsy pan, it's going to warp or buckle in the oven, which means you're going to have all of your toppings all over the floor of your oven and you're going to have one ruined pan. So if you don't have a heavy-duty pan, find someone who does or go out and get one before you try making this.
We got to now talk about the sauce, which was one of the best pizza sauces I've ever had, and I'm going to definitely try to replicate it at home. What went into the sauce that you used? And is there anything distinctly grandma about the sauce?
Well, back to how we do it in Italy when mama is making the pizza. You go out to the garden, you grab a couple of tomatoes, you chop them up, you throw them on the pizza. What Frank Pinello suggested, since you are having a crust that has a great deal of depth and complexity to it, since you are using a lot of olive oil, you're going to want to have an actual sauce that has some depth to it. So get a can, 28-ounce can of whole peeled Italian tomatoes and drain off the tomato puree that's in it. You want these fairly dry. Throw that in your food processor with garlic, more olive oil, basil. I used the last of my garden basil in putting these pizzas together, so that was really cool. Basil, garlic, salt and pepper. You blitz it in the food processor for maybe 10 seconds. You want it still a little bit chunky. And here's the really cool thing. The cheese goes on first in a grandma pizza. And the sauce is spooned on, not spread on. So you've got clumps of sauce on this pizza. And I used anchovy paste instead of anchovies. I know this. Frank Pinello calls for anchovies for the umami factor. Since this is an uncooked sauce, you want to give it a little bit of complexity in addition to the acidity of those uncooked tomatoes. I know not everybody likes anchovies, so I tend to use anchovy paste when I'm cooking. There are some out there that don't have a lot of additives that really do taste like the fish. The other reason I don't use real anchovies, whole anchovies, is I have cats. I open a tin of anchovies, I'm in trouble. I will never get the cats out from underfoot. So anchovy paste, it doesn't have the smell that scares people, and it's a milder taste, but it still delivers the umami. So there's how you get your uncooked grandma sauce. And you're absolutely right that everybody commented on the sauce, that it was a real winner.
We're talking to Lori Skelton about homemade pizza making, specifically a style called Grandma Pizza.
And you can join our conversation. What kind of pizza do you make at home? Are you intrigued by this notion of Grandma Pizza? Sound familiar? Maybe something that you've cooked in your own home, in your own family. What makes it special? And what is your favorite pizza recipe? You can call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page where you'll also find pictures and recipes for this pizza.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation with Lori Skelton about homemade grandma pizza now.
And you can join the conversation. Have you ever eaten this kind of pizza, this grandma pizza? Have you ever made it at home? What was it like? What kind of pizza is your favorite to make? What's your favorite combination of toppings? And do you have questions? Maybe Lori can give us some advice along the way. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over at the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll go to our callers now. Nick is joining us from Madison. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Good, thanks.
Fantastic show. I absolutely love this. I've never made the grandma pizza before, but now I'm certainly going to try.
I heard that a lot in the last 2 weeks.
I tell you what, I'm doing a kitchen remodel right now, so I'm completely without an oven, but I'm not letting that stop me from making my pizzas. I've taken to making my pizzas on my grill.
I'd be very interested to see if grandma would work. I think you can get your grill that hot.
I use a 5-burner gas grill, and when I have all burners on high, that thing gets hot.
Okay.
And I use a pizza stone for the majority of the pizzas that I've made instead of the deeper dish. But I do have a larger cast iron skillet.
Okay.
That I'd be willing to put on there.
Nick, thanks a lot for the call. So, yeah, that makes me think. Some people grill the pizza right on the grill, the stone. For this, though, you've got to have the oil contained at the bottom.
You do. For this much oil, you need to have a pan. Now, if he's using a cast iron pan, he's probably going to get close, although you may be getting closer into Sicilian pie if you're using a cast iron pan. I mean, isn't that how Pizzeria Uno in Chicago got its start, with a cast iron pan?
And those are, a couple inches deep or something like that?
I think at least 3 inches deep. So it's a great start, Nick. Let us know what happens, please. Post pictures.
Or bring it by.
Definitely.
Better yet. All right, we're going to go next to Amanda in Mequon. Hi, Amanda.
Hi. I am loving this show so much. I just had to call in because I was listening, and I was astonished because you're describing my grandma's pizza recipe.
Okay. How did your grandma top it?
So my grandma's actually Irish, but her husband, my grandfather, was from Tuscany.
Ooh.
So his relatives came over and taught her how to make it. And it was a basic crust recipe, olive oil and garlic in the pan, and then crust. And then, yes, the meat, we would press Italian sausage into the dough, and then we would put cheese on it and then spoon tomatoes on top of the cheese, just like you described.
Wow.
And the pan for us is like a religious thing in our family because my grandparents owned a tavern in Beloit for years, and we still have the tavern pizza pans, and we still use them.
Which tavern in Beloit?
It was called Dominic's. This was in like the late 70s.
Yep.
Really?
I went to school in Beloit from 82 to 86. Let's just put it this way. I never ate at Dominic's, but I certainly heard about it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I still use the tavern pan.
Oh,
my mom
good
and
for
I have,
you.
We decided they're just about worn in enough.
That is a legacy. That is so great to hear.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that, Amanda. Let's talk toppings a little more. She mentioned putting a sausage right into the crust. You had a lot of permutations you worked with. What were the biggest hits?
Okay. We did have the basic, which is cheese, tomato sauce, a little bit of crushed red pepper, which was certainly a pleasure for people. After I did that, a lot of people, including Central Times' Chris Molina, said, you know it's boring, but I really like sausage on a pizza. I happen to love, at Lombardino's here in Madison, their hot sausage and broccoli rabe over pasta. So I thought, I wonder if I can recreate that on the pizza. What I did with the broccoli rabe was I chopped it up and tossed that with a little olive oil and lemon so it wouldn't get completely dried out. And then I took Fraboni's hot Italian sausage, just like Lombardino's does, and I took it out of the casing so that it crumbled all over the top. One thing I think that Grandma's Pizza really needs is something that you can chop up small and scatter over the entire surface. I don't think meatballs would actually work very well. That said, I probably should have used more sausage on this particular pizza. It was one that didn't have quite the flavor that some of the others did. I did use soppressata, which is an Italian sausage, similar to pepperoni. I think it has more flavor. If you like pepperoni on a pizza, soppressata on this is so, so good. We tried a combination of ricotta cheese with red pepper and grilled eggplant.
That was delicious.
Okay. Mm. I think my personal favorite was one of the ones from the Bon Appetit magazine with oil-cured olives, more oil again, red onion, and this time provolone mixed in with the mozzarella in addition to the sauce. And I just picked ingredients that I love, and they just happened to go so well on this pizza.
And we'll go back to our callers now. Let's take a call from Steve joining us in Eau Claire, and you can join our conversation at 800-642-1234. Hey, Steve.
Hey. This is interesting to me. It's been a long time since I thought about it, but when I was in my teenage years in the 60s, I dated a girl whose grandmother was from Sicily, and she didn't speak English, but she cooked. And her pizza had olives in the crust.
Oh.
It sounds very much like your pizza in that it was thick and crisp on the bottom, but she had olives in the crust. And I'm not talking about black California olives. I mean briny European olives.
Okay.
So, is that something you've heard of? And also, you talked about just using frozen bread dough as the crust, and you didn't say if that worked out very well, and I yet have heard your dough recipe, so
okay.
I'll hang on and listen.
I could see where putting olives in the crust would be a variation on what we're doing. Again, with the frozen bread dough, it'll work, but the general consensus around here, and I'd have to agree, is that it just didn't taste as good as the crust that you had rising in the refrigerator for 24 hours. You can use it. It'll be great for kids, but if you're going to go high-end with the grown-ups, yeah, take the extra time and make the pizza that takes a little more time to rise.
And that recipe is on the Central Time Facebook page. I think it'll be easier to check it out there than to say it on the air. But a tip you gave us, Lori, on the mixing of the dough.
You need 4 cups of flour for this particular recipe. Unless you've got Clay Matthews in your kitchen, I really think you need a standing mixer with a dough hook. I honestly don't see as hefty as this dough can be, I honestly don't see how you can mix it by hand. The Bon Appetit recipe doesn't say that specifically, but that was my go-to. And yeah, the KitchenAid got a lot of work these last 2 weeks.
One of the things that I loved about these pizzas, I'm thinking especially about the last version of it that you made with the olives and
the red onions,
was you served it on this beautiful cutting board. And so when you took your knife and it just crunched, and the presentation was just beautiful. You could really eat with your eyes in that case.
You probably should take it out of the pan. Rob discovered that if you try cutting this with a flimsy knife, it's going to nearly break the knife. It will definitely score your pan, which is never a good idea. So, yeah, go ahead and take it out of the pan and then get a nice big knife or a decent pizza cutter and have at it.
So I think next pledge drive, a raffle for an opportunity. Lori comes over and makes you the pizza. We get Clay Matthews to do the mixing of the dough, right? Or the packer of your choice. I think we got something here.
Only if Mario Batali is making the sopressata.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. At the $1,000 pledge. No. So a last bit of encouragement or advice for people who want to give this a try at home, Lori.
If you've got the basic ingredients, and yeah, there's a few things that you need that not everybody has, but if you do have decent pan, decent ventilation, and a lot of olive oil, this really is worth it. As I said at the start of the segment, I've never made pizza before in my life, and I'm completely a convert. This is so worth the trouble. You can have a lot of fun with it.
Rumor on the water cooler is you're leaving WPR to start a pizza restaurant. True or false?
No, that's not going to happen. First of all, I've got to get through. I've got to make one more presentation for the Milwaukee Symphony before their concert tomorrow night. I actually had people coming up to me after the concert today and asking about pizza recipes. So
second career.
So I'll see if I can combine the music and the food.
Well, Lori, thanks as always.
Thank you.
That's Lori Skelton, one of our in-house foodies here at WPR, regular Food Friday guest with us to talk about Grandma Pizza. Again, we've got a link to the recipe for Grandma Style Pizza Crust on the Central Time Facebook page, so you can try us at home and let us know how it goes.
I'm Veronica Vicker.
And I'm Rob Farah. News is coming up next on Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.